The reading's taken from Matthew chapter 19, verse 23, to chapter 20, verse 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easy for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or fields for my sake, will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire men to work in his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour and he did the same thing. About the 11th hour, he went out and found others still standing around. He asked them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' 'Because no one has hired us,' they answered. He said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first.' The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. When those who came who were hired the first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' So the last will be first, and the first will be last."
I want this morning to consider this rather strange parable that Jesus tells at the beginning of Matthew chapter 20. What I intend to do is to give the context in which he spoke this parable, then to pick out one or two of the details in the parable, and then by way of application to draw out one or two truths. In chapter 19, verse 23, Jesus says to his disciples, "I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" The disciples associated wealth, prosperity, with the blessing, the favour of God. And so they were quite astounded when Jesus says, "How hard, how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Indeed, they're so astounded, they ask the question, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus answers, verse 26, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Entrance to the kingdom of God, it cannot be earned, it cannot be worked for. It can only be obtained through the grace, through the mercy of God. With man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. Well, in verse 27, Peter follows this up with a supplementary question. He says, we have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us? If the entrance to the kingdom of God cannot be earned, if it cannot be worked for, what's the point of all the sacrifices we have made to be your disciples? Well, the answer Jesus gives in verses 28 and 9 is this, that though our entrance into the kingdom of God cannot be earned, it cannot be worked for, ultimately, in the kingdom of God, every sacrifice made, every service rendered, it will be recompensed. It will be rewarded in abundance. Well, it's from that conversation with his disciples that Jesus goes on to tell this story of the workers in the vineyard. In verse 1, the owner of the vineyard is seeking for workers. And early in the morning, he goes to the market and he hires some men to work in the vineyard. And you will notice in verse 2 that he agrees a wage with them. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day. That was a fair day's wage. They were happy with it. And off they went to work in the vineyard. Well, during the course of the day, more men are needed. And so at the third hour, 9 a.m., at the sixth hour, 12 noon, at the ninth hour, 3 p.m., and at the 11th hour, 5 p.m., more men are hired to work in the vineyard. Now, there is a difference between those who were hired first thing in the morning and those who were hired as the day proceeded. Those hired first thing, verse 2, they had a negotiated and agreed wage. It was a denarius a day. But those who were hired afterwards did not have an agreed wage. Verse 4, he told them, you also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right. It was not a negotiated wage, but they trusted the owner of the vineyard that he would be fair, and they too went off to work amongst the vines. Well, everyone was happy until 6 p.m. And it was then that the trouble started. It would be impossible to estimate how many strikes and disputes have started over money. And this was one of them. Verse 8, when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first. The workers who were hired about the 11th hour came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble. These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. Those who'd worked for just 1 hour, they got the same wage as those who had been working since first thing in the morning. And not only that, those who had worked for just 1 hour, they were first in the queue. They got paid first. Well, this was not acceptable to the National Union of Vineyard Workers. And so they complained to the owner. They said, it isn't fair. It isn't just. What was his response? Verse 13. Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the man who was hired last the same as I gave to you. He'd not broken his word. He'd not gone back on any promise. He'd said to those hired first thing in the morning, I'll pay you a denarius. And that is precisely what he'd paid. And so these workers, they were not so much accusing the owner of being unfair to them. They were rather accusing him of being too generous to others. And he says in verse 15, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous? Well, those are the bare details of the story. I want now to draw from it two truths. The first is this, that the call of God comes to different people at different times. To some it comes in childhood. To some in their eventide years. And to the majority, it comes sometime in between. In verse 1, the owner of the vineyard went out and called some early in the morning. The day had just begun. The sun had just risen when the call came to these men. They were called early in the morning. But it's a wonderful thing when the call of God comes early in the morning. It's a wonderful thing when God saves a boy or a girl when they are young and tender in years. He did it with Samuel in the Old Testament. He did it with John the Baptist in the New Testament. The call of God came to them. And whilst they were young and tender in years, they became the children of God. But it still happens today. Never doubt the reality, the sincerity of child conversion. Jesus said, suffer the children to come unto me, forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus still calls boys and girls to himself, and when they come, he doesn't turn them away. He receives them. Never doubt the possibility, the reality of child conversion. I remember a few years ago at Ingleton, I was approached by a 7-year-old boy, and he wanted to be baptized. I wonder what the elders here would have done with that. He asked for baptism. And I must confess, I was rather taken aback. It was a situation I'd never ever been faced with before. But as I spoke to that boy, I couldn't doubt for one moment that his faith was in Christ. And for one so young, he had an amazing understanding of the gospel. But I was still rather perplexed as to what we should do. But as I pondered, I read the words of Charles Spurgeon on that incident when the disciples would have sent the children away. And this is what Spurgeon says. A child, not big enough, tall enough, great enough to come to Jesus. So they thought, but Jesus turned the tables and said, do not say the child cannot come till he becomes a man. Rather say, the man cannot come until he becomes a child. Instead of the child having to grow up and become a man, it's rather the man who has to grow down and become a child. Except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, having read that, I felt I had no alternative but to go ahead and baptize that boy. Some are saved early in the morning. But some are saved at the 3rd hour, or the 6th hour, or the 9th hour. And I suspect, if we're Christians this morning, that most of us fall into that category. Perhaps we were teenagers, young men, young women, middle-aged men, middle-aged women, when the call of Christ came to us. And again, it's a wonderful thing. We're told in verse 3 about the 3rd hour he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, you also go and work in my vineyard. I remember when I worked in the Department of Employment, it wasn't always easy to get someone back into work if they'd been out of work for many months, or in some cases, for years. And it wasn't so much that they were idle, it was rather they'd got out of the habit of going to work. And their days were now occupied with other things. And since I've retired, I can identify with that. I think I would find it very difficult now to go back to full-time work. Because my days are preoccupied, my days are taken up with other things. And that's how it is if we're not converted as children. We become more and more preoccupied with the things of this world. And the sins of this world get an even firmer grip upon us. And so it's a wonderful thing when at the 3rd or the 6th or the 9th hour, the call of Christ comes. And the grace of God is so wonderful that even then he can save us from our many sins. And though we be 20 or 40 or 60, he can then call us to go and work in his vineyard. Some were called early in the morning. Others were called at the third, the sixth, the ninth hour. But notice verse 6. About the 11th hour, he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." Now you can't be called at the 12th hour, because by then the sun has set. Your time on earth is over. You can't be called at the 12th hour, but it's possible to be called at the 11th hour. That's how it was with the dying thief. He was saved and taken to heaven in a matter of a few hours. Doesn't often happen, but it can. Again, Charles Spurgeon. He tells of a man who was converted in Virginia at the age of 103. Some words he'd heard John Fravel preach at Plymouth many, many years before came back to him, and he was convinced and converted. Now he died at the age of 106. And when he died, this inscription was put on his tomb: "A babe in Christ, aged 3 years, who died according to nature, aged 106 years." That was tremendous, wasn't it? It was almost the 12th hour, but the call of Christ came to that man. Well, can I ask you this morning, have you responded to the call of Christ? Have you? You see, the devil always says, put it off. Put it off. Wait until you are 103. But the problem is, we've no guarantee that we're going to reach 103 or 83 or 63 or whatever the age might be. Never think you've got all the time in the world. As far as the Bible is concerned, the only time you've got is now. The only day you've got is today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your hearts. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Christ calls you this morning. Don't reject him. Don't ignore him. Come to Christ today. He doesn't promise you tomorrow. But the second truth is this: God is good and gracious. Therefore, he must never be accused of being unfair or unjust. God is good and gracious, therefore he must never be accused of being unfair or unjust. I'll be honest, when you read this parable, don't you perhaps feel that those called early in the morning, they had a point. They'd worked all day for just one denarius, whilst others who'd only worked for 1 hour, they too got a denarius. Don't you feel, well, that wasn't fair? They got a raw deal. But did they? Those called early in the morning, verse 2, were promised a denarius. Verse 10, that's what they got. They got the amount they'd been promised. What about those who just worked for 1 hour? Well, they too got a denarius. And they got a denarius not because they deserved it, not because they'd earned it. They got a denarius because of the grace and the generosity of the owner. He says, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Are you envious because I'm generous? It was a demonstration of his grace and goodness. Why then should anyone accuse him of being unfair or unjust? Well, I can see that perhaps some of you are still not convinced. Can I say this? You will be in heaven. You will be in heaven. Because in heaven, the dominant theme will not be the rights of men. Now that is an important theme here on earth. And as Christians, we have a responsibility to work for fairness and for justice in society. The rights of men are an important theme. But not in heaven. Not in heaven. The dominant theme, indeed the only theme, it will be the grace of God. I remember one Sunday night in 1983, a retired farmer sat in the congregation at Ingleton. He was a man of 70, and of his own admission, he told me he committed every sin in the book in order to get back at God. But that night, as the gospel was preached, he came under conviction of sin. For 3 days he could neither eat nor sleep. And on the Wednesday afternoon he came round to my home. There in our front room he trusted Christ as his saviour. And having trusted Christ in the afternoon, he testified to his newfound faith in the prayer meeting that night. What a day that was. But the point is this, over the next 10 years, whether it was Sunday services, prayer meetings, Bible studies, open air meetings, Ted was always there. He became a most faithful, a most dependable member of the church. The point I want to make is this. In heaven, as he wears that crown of righteousness given to him by Christ, are you going to say, that's not fair? That's not right. You were turned 70 when you were saved. You only served Christ for a few short years. I was saved as a youth. I served the Master for 50, 60, 70 years. I bore the burden, the heat of the day. It's not fair. It's not right. Are you going to say that? Of course not. In heaven, the dominant theme, the only theme, will not be the rights of men. In heaven, the only theme will be the grace of God. And we shall marvel, not just that the grace of God could save a 70-year-old man, we will marvel that the grace of God could save me. Because the truth is, whether we're saved when we're 7 or 97, not one of us deserves to be saved. Not one of us deserves to go to heaven. We will only be there because of the wondrous, the amazing grace of God. But just one final thing. Someone might say, doesn't the Bible teach that there will be different degrees of reward in heaven? I'm sure it does. Indeed, Jesus seems to be saying this in chapter 19, verse 28. He says to his disciples, I tell you the truth. At the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. There will be different degrees of reward, but it will not be based on how many years we were a Christian on earth. It won't be 60 years of service, gold medal, 40 years of service, silver medal, 20 years of service, bronze medal. It won't be based on the number of years we were a Christian on earth. It will rather be based on the kind of Christians that we were. How sanctified were we? How prepared were we to suffer for Christ? How prepared were we to make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel? That will be the criteria by which, as Christians, we will be rewarded. And of course, the wonderful thing is this. In heaven, we won't be jealous or envious of the reward which someone else might receive. We won't. In heaven, we will be fully satisfied. And that question asked by Abraham in the book of Genesis, all those thousands of years ago, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? In that day, it will be answered with an emphatic, with a resounding yes. Because in heaven, we will see far better than we ever do now just how good, how generous, how gracious our God has been.